Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue our series of studies, Christ, the Rock of Ages. And already we have considered the Rock of Salvation, the Rock of Life. And today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider Christ, the Rock of Ages, pictured in the Old Testament as the Rock of Refreshment. And we're going to be turning to the 17th chapter of Exodus, and if you have your Bibles near at hand and wish to follow, feel free to get them now. In Exodus chapter 17, we read of a wonderful incident in the life of the children of Israel that is highly illustrative of Christ. We will develop that subject during the course of our study today. Exodus 17 and 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, Give us water, that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Now, this is highly illustrative. We're going to develop our subject today talking about the thirst, the rebellion, the provision, the picture, and the sad sequel. Now, physical thirst alerts us to the needs of our souls. These people were thirsty. Thirst is analogous to desire. We should interpret our physical thirst and apply it to our souls. Now, I said it is analogous to desire. Thirst and desire are comparative. I'm not going to develop the different points. I'm just going to tell the story of a little girl, and I've told it on the broadcast before, but bear with me, please. It illustrates the point so perfectly, I have to tell it again. A little girl was taken by her mother over to her sister's house, that is, the sister of the mother, and she left her with her auntie while she went on some business. She was gone for quite a while, and the little girl came to her auntie, and she said, Auntie, I'm thirsty. And auntie said, Well, honey, you know where the faucet is. Go get yourself a drink. The glass is right in the cupboard there in the kitchen. Well, the little child disappeared, and she came back after a while, and she says, Auntie, I'm thirsty. And Auntie was rather abrupt with her, and he says, Honey, I told you where the cups are and the water. Go get yourself a drink. And she disappeared, and she came back the third time. Said, Auntie, I am thirsty. And Auntie was quite put out. She says, I told you. And then the little girl says, Oh, Auntie, you don't understand. I'm thirsty for my mama. Now, that little child knew the analogy between thirst and desire. Now, these people had a deep, deep desire. They had a thirst. Now, they rebelled, and unfulfilled desire, physical or thirsty, always causes great unrest in our lives. It's true of us today. The relentless pursuit of pleasure in the world today betrays a thirst of the soul, a thirst, incidentally, that only God can satisfy. Now let's talk about the provision. It was God-ordered God, the Lord told Moses, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river and take it in thy hand. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And notice, please, it's the definite article, the rock in Horeb. It was just not a rock. It was the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it. Moses did it, and it was as God ordered, and it was as God provided, and it met their need. As a matter of fact, we read in Psalm 78, the psalmist there is recounting the adventures of the children of Israel, and he even speaks of this very incident of which we're studying today. Psalm 78, 15 and 16. And he's speaking of what God did for the children of Israel. He clave the rock in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. I like this. The waters ran like rivers. The rivers of water from God. When God does a thing, he doesn't do it in a niggardly fashion. They didn't have to take their little cups and dig little pit holes in the sand and let the water seep into the holes that they might dip out a little water. The water ran down like rivers. And they were their need was satisfied. Now, this affords us a wonderful picture. And we're going to have to turn to the New Testament to find out what this all means. It's highly illustrative. And we have to turn to the New Testament, and the New Testament tells us exactly what this means. Now we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, moreover, brethren, the Apostle Paul writes, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, which was the manna, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And the word rock here is capitalized. It applies to deity. This is the interpretation. Paul gives it to us. They did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now that tells us exactly what this was. Now, we've got to develop the analogy. We've got to develop the picture. The type is a better word, perhaps. Moses smote the rock, and the water came out. Now, this speaks of the smiting of Christ on the cross, so that your desire, the desire of your heart, and my heart might be fulfilled. We've already said that desire and thirst are analogous, and God wants to satisfy the thirst of the human soul. I've said it before, perhaps on this broadcast, that God has made us thirsty in our souls so that he can satisfy that thirst with himself. Now, of what does the water speak? Christ was the rock. The rock was smitten so that the water might come out. Well, that is also answered in the New Testament and answered by our Lord Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 7. We read in verse 37 of that 7th chapter of John, in the last day, that great day of the feast, and this is the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet crucified, was not yet glorified, rather, and then crucified. This was on the Feast of Tabernacles. The children of Israel came up there three feast days in the year to Jerusalem. This was the last feast day of the year. They came up. And it was a time of refreshment when families got together, and they offered their offerings in the temple. And on the last day of this feast, the Lord Jesus says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Now, you would thought that their family gatherings would have satisfied the thirst of their souls. You would have thought that their service to the Lord and the presentation of their offerings would have satisfied them. But on this occasion, the last day of the feast, this is significant, the Lord said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And this he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet crucified." Now, the one that satisfies the thirst of the soul is the Holy Spirit himself. He satisfies the thirst of the soul. How does he do it? He brings Christ before us. We are thirsty, really, for Christ. God made us that way. No wonder we can't sate our thirst, satisfy our thirst with this world. Only God can satisfy the thirst. We said it at the beginning of the broadcast that the relentless pursuit of pleasure in the world today betrays the thirst of the soul. Oh, that they knew how they might get it satisfied. Think of these words of the Lord Jesus coming down to us through the ages. "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And he died on the cross. Christ was smitten on the cross for you and for me, that we might be satisfied in our souls, that our fears of God might be put away, that our sins might be put away, that barrier between himself and us might be removed, and that we might be in his presence forever with no consciousness of sins. Sin's debt paid by our Lord Jesus and his love to you and to me. But now there's a sad sequel in the story. It's found in Numbers chapter 18, chapter 19, and we read there, "There was no water for the congregation," in verse 2, "and they gathered together against Moses and against Aaron. They made their demands again, and verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, 'Take the rod and gather the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give them forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink.' And Moses took the rod from before the Lord." And then Moses did something that he shouldn't have done. He says, "Now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod, he smote the rock twice. Now he was told to speak to the rod. And he spoiled a picture of Christ. Christ does not need to be smitten twice. Moses was prevented from going into the land because he disobeyed the Lord. Let us remember these lessons. O our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Keep us satisfied with Christ. We know we can be satisfied. We know the source. Make the lesson real to our souls, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.